This is David Tyler, Director of Gateway Biblical Counseling Training Center in Fairview Heights, Illinois, and you're listening to the Biblical Counseling Marriage and Family Podcast. I'd like to give you a free download copy of my book, Deceptive Diagnosis, When Sin is Called Sickness. Just go to my website, davidtylerbooks.com. Let's talk about cravings, not just food cravings, although we'll get there, but those deep desires that rise up in us. The ones that feel so wrong. It's like they're pulling us around by the nose. Whether it's a second piece of cake, a click in the wrong direction on your laptop or iPhone, a Pepsi at 9 o'clock in the morning for the 10th day in a row, cravings are real and sometimes sinful. Now, we live in a world that says if you want it, go for it. Follow your heart, trust your feelings. But Scripture tells us a different story. James chapter 1 hits it on the head. In verse 14, he says, quote, "Each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own desires," unquote. Did you catch that? Your own desire. That's where temptation starts. Not outside of you, inside. So what exactly are these desires? James is talking about two kinds. First of all, there's inborn desires. These are the ones we all have simply because we're human beings. Things like hunger, thirst, sex. They're not sinful. God gave them to us, and they're good when they're used in the right way. Eating is good. Gluttony, not good. Sex in marriage is good. Sex outside of marriage, sinful. It's not the desire that's bad. It's what we do with it. Then there are acquired desires. These are the ones we learn. We pick up along the way as we go through life. Like sweets after dinner, smoking, jogging, checking your iPhone every 5 minutes, pornography. None of those are inborn. They're practiced to us. We say things like, "I've got to have something sweet after every meal," or "There's nothing like a good run to clear my head." And here's the thing. Just like we pick up those desires, they can be put off. James goes on in verse 15, quote, "Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it has run its course, brings forth death," unquote. Let's walk through this process. Step one, temptation. The desire shows up. The little inner voice says, you know what you want. Maybe it's a second helping of chocolate cake. You're full, but it looks so good. Step two, conception. You don't walk away. You sit there and think about it. You imagine how good it will taste. You don't act yet, but in your heart, you've said yes. Step three, sin. You go for it. You eat the cake. And a few minutes later, you feel the guilt. Why did I do that? I wasn't even hungry. And then step four, death. Now, for believers, this doesn't mean eternal separation from God. We're secure in Christ Jesus. But sin still kills something, like it kills your joy, your peace, maybe even your fellowship with the Lord. But there's some good news. You're not stuck. You can resist. You can change. You can put off sinful cravings and replace them with godly ones. Colossians chapter 3 says to put off desires like greed, lust, anger, and put on compassion, kindness, humility, and self-control. That's not just poetical language. It's practical. You replace what's sinful with what's righteous, and it all starts by understanding what your temptations are. Let me give you a picture. There was a woman I knew who always had a Pepsi in her hand. It didn't matter. Morning, noon, night, she had a Pepsi. That craving had become a pattern, a part of her daily rhythm. It was so predictable. It was almost automatic. That's what the Bible means by fleshly desires. Flesh instilled, acquired habits that live in your body. Over time, it feels like they own you. Now, here's the key. They really don't own you. James says again, quote, "Each one is tempted by his own desire," unquote. So no more blaming God, no more blaming your upbringing, no more blaming your circumstances. What happens when we reverse the biblical process? Instead of submitting to God and resisting the devil, we submit to our desires and resist God. That's what happens when we give in. We want something, we give in, and now we regret it. But James 4:7 gives us the reset. Here it is, quote, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you," unquote. You have to flip the switch, Repent, resist, replace. It's not instant. It's a process. It may take 6 weeks or more to break a sinful habit and replace it with a new one. In the meantime, you resist. Paul says in Ephesians 6:13, quote, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, unquote. Stand firm, don't give in. And if you're wondering, how do you resist when the craving is strong? Well, it starts with your thoughts. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, quote, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, think on these things, unquote. And again in 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive to obedience to Christ, unquote. You don't let your thoughts take you captive. You take them captive. You have a responsibility. You get up from the table. You walk to the other room. You pray. You redirect your mind. Change your behavior to change your thoughts. You're not powerless. You're not stuck. You're not at the mercy of your cravings. God has given you His Spirit and His Word. So, know yourself. Know your temptations. And remember, resistance starts before sin is born. James closes his teaching with a powerful reminder, quote, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, unquote. Don't deceive yourselves into thinking that your sin is harmless. Don't minimize it. Don't excuse it. Deal with it. Cravings don't have to control you. Christ sets you free. Thanks for joining me today. I hope this helped you think biblically about your desires and how you can overcome them.